All right, we are looking here at this subject we call Kingdom Families, and it's under this area we call Living in the Supernatural. And we have, this is part 12, volume 2. So we probably need to go to another volume here. All right, let's read starting at verse 5 of Galatians chapter 3, and we'll get started. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. There it is, right there. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful or believing Abraham. Boy, that's it. See? And going down to verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone hanging on the tree. Why? So that the blessing of Abraham would come on us. And it has. Amen. Praise God. All right. Now we've come some distance here in talking about this supernatural. And one of the things that we said in this is that when you're talking about the supernatural, you're not necessarily talking about something spectacular. This seems to be a hang up with people on the supernatural. All of a sudden, when you're talking about supernatural, you're talking about something spooky. Something's going to happen like that. Now, most of the supernatural that God does, you need to be spiritually mature to even detect it. And I mean, that when he told me, he said, listen, go in town and get a donkey. And you'll see that donkey tied. It's a coat. He's tied. And loose him and bring him here. If somebody asks you, what are you doing? Tell them the Lord has need of him. They say, okay. He went, untied him. Somebody said, what are you doing with that donkey? He said, the Lord has need of him. Oh, let him go. Now, that was supernatural. Somebody walk up to you, you about to get in your car, and you got a Mercedes 600. And they tell you the Lord has need of this. Okay. All right. But my point to you is, it's interesting how people just read across that and that, you know, just another piece of reading. That was supernatural. It's the power of God working. When he cursed that fig tree, I taught on that on Wednesday night. It's a powerful teaching on Wednesday night. I taught on that Wednesday night, cursed that fig tree. And when he said, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. Remember what he said, come out of your mouth, blessing and what? Curses. See, Jesus cursed that tree. And the Bible said the tree dried up from the root. It went on down to Jerusalem. Now, Jesus didn't stand there and look and see if the tree did anything, because he didn't have to. He knew the power of the blessing. He knew the power of what he spoke was going to make things come to pass. So they came back the next morning by the tree, and Peter calling to remembrance. See, that's a discernment. Amen. See, wait a minute. If I recall right, this tree was standing, and it was, see, only Peter caught it almost. So my point to you is that the supernatural is happening. God is doing it. And sometimes we're not discerning it. We're looking for that spectacular, poof. Something happened, you know, still the storm. What we see there? Wow, what kind of man is this? But somehow water turned to wine all of a sudden, you know, they didn't think that was, well, I don't know now. That might have been wine in the first place. What they didn't do is they got. So as we look at this, we're seeing that God is doing the supernatural. So we said if he can do the supernatural over here in your finances, and he could do the supernatural over here in your body, why can't he do the supernatural in this marriage right here? And somehow people write that off. And say, well, I don't know. The Lord, you know, I don't know if he can do anything with this woman. you know, or this man or whatever have you. Now, my point to you is that God is still God. There, as long as there's life, there's hope. Say amen to that. And you and I have been redeemed from the curse. And part of that curse is a bad marriage. Part of that curse is your kids go into captivity. That means drugs and all that. I've been redeemed from that. Been redeemed from it. So sometimes we have to be very, very aware that God is doing something and even moving when we don't know He's moving. And what you have to do is, I said on Wednesday, keep Satan in the book and he'll be defeated. Keep him in the book. Don't let him out of this book. Remember when he came up to Jesus and he tried to tempt Jesus? Notice what Jesus said. It is written. Notice he kept him in the Torah, kept him in the book, kept him in God's word. And I'm telling you right now, for you, if you got something going wrong in your life, put Satan in this word right here. Put this word on him, whip it on him, and don't get off of it. Stay right on it. I don't care what your body just felt. Put this word right here on it. Praise God. So now, if you keep him in the word, he's whipped. And don't be moved by what you see and what you feel. Move by what you say. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, so if we look at this, sometimes when I have counseled people, I don't counsel them much anymore because I pay people to do that. Or there are other people who are in the ministry that do it. And I'm not saying I don't want to do it. It's just that I'm the one that's doing the preaching. And you do want a good sermon, don't you? You do want a good word. Okay, all right. So in that, I'm just trying to find out now, because, but in here, the one of the biggest reasons why I feel that sometimes people can't get things straightened out from a marriage perspective is because people are still carnal and they don't want to change. They don't want to surrender themselves to the Word of God. And you've got to do that, folks. It's not who's right, it's what's right. And what's right is the Word of God. So I bring them back to the Word of God. Say, now, are you willing to do this? Because this is what's right. All right? Now, then sometimes what they do is they find out what's right and then go out there and get the opinion of Big Mama. Now, she hadn't been in church since 39. And come and give you opinion. The opinion is in this book. God has already given you. His thoughts are right here written in His Word. So that's where we stay. That's where you have to keep the enemy. And if you do, he is defeated. Praise God. Now, he's out to keep us from reaching our destinies. And what we found out is that, you know, our children are very, very important to our destinies because they really secure our future. And we've got to make sure that our children are taught right, so forth and so on. And so we found out that when we're talking about families, that the first family was in the book of Genesis. And the first family was a husband, a male man, and a wife. This was a female man. So both of them were generic man, but she was a female and he was a male male. Now, years ago, you didn't have to talk like this. But today, you got to make it real plain. And in this, are y'all willing to hear what I've got to say today? Now, what we said is that Adam and Eve was the beginning of this family, that the first was was the prototype of society. Was the prototype of society. And we talk about what a prototype was. When you sometimes go to the auto show or something like that, you'll see a concept car is what they call it. But it's where you actually can get a type of car that has been made, but it was made just as a concept. It's not mass produced yet. So we said that the family that's instituted by God that he put together was a prototype, meaning that everything else was going to come that looked like that. That's the way it's supposed to look. All right. Now, we know people got a lot of ideas out here today, and I'm not up here to debate. I'm going to just go right to the book and read you what the book says. So what we said in this is that society is a reflection of the condition of the family. Now, today, I'm going to bring that home even a little bit more for you, because I'm going to show you where the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. This is found in Proverbs chapter 22. And when he was old, he will not depart from it. I better turn you to that, because I see a lot of y'all kind of winking at me. Let's go over Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Now, this may not agree with some professionals that you know, or excuse me, experts. But you know what I said an expert is? Somebody from out of town with a suitcase. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Okay? Now notice, I'm going to run this down to you. But we're going to find out what training means. Let's see, training. When I was a kid, I was taking my grandmother, my brother and sister, and I sometimes in the summertime, we got deposited down at my grandmother's house. And so I remember there were some houses down there. My grandmother and them were doing well. They're probably doing better than anybody around there. And my granddad had a lot of farmland and tractor, and he had a car and trucks and so forth. But we went down to some of the neighbors' house that weren't doing that well. They were very poor. And I remember seeing them feed the baby. And they would take the baby, because they were weaning the baby off of milk. And they'd take the baby and they'd actually chew up the food. And then they'd take the chewed food and then put it in the baby's mouth. See, because it was chewed up and so forth. What were they doing? They were getting the baby off of the milk and putting them on solid food. Say amen to that. That's the training. That's the Hebrew description of the way you've got to train them. In other words, you've got to force that. You've got to have the children to cultivate a taste for what's right. Got it? My dad used to say that all the time. I'd eat something, he'd put, you know, something on my plate, you know, that I didn't like. I like it now, but like okra. And I don't like this running all out of my mouth. I don't like this. Oh, son, cultivate a taste for it. Cultivate, eat it. And so so I ate it. And now I like it. So I'm just saying, when you train up a child, you put it in their spirit. And later on in life, they may stray away because of the flesh, but they will return. Not maybe. Not maybe. I'm only saying that because you're saying, what I'm saying here is that when you're looking at the family, that the society is a reflection of the family. And when you're talking about the decisions that are being made in a society, and these kinds of decisions are being made, or let's say there is a kind of a wrong thinking in terms of the politics or in government or maybe some professionals or some entertainers and whatnot, then what you need to do is go back to the family. Because from what I just showed you, that if you train up a child in the way that he or she should go, when he is old, he won't depart from it. This is not, see this book? This is not a maybe. This book here is telling you how you are made. You see, if one man said it like this, if the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. Don't ever ask the thing what it's made for. Ask the one who made it. God made us. We didn't come from an amoeba or a rhesus monkey. We came from God. And he knows how we're made. And when he says an absolute statement, let me read it again. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he, underline the word, he will not depart from it. That's our job, is to train them up. So the enemy wants to train them up. He wants to train them up. The government was never meant to take care of your kids. And I'm telling you, they're trying to restructure it. Now, this is why they can do that and not have a conscience about it. Turn to Proverbs, Psalms chapter 82, please. Y'all wanted to hear this, so I'm going to give it to you. This is good stuff, folks. Flow, okay, praise God. Look at verse 1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, and he judgeth among the gods. How long would you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Now he is not talking to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He is talking to the people of God. Now watch this. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. Watch this now. They walk on in what? Darkness. All the foundations of the earth are what? They're out of course. All right? Now let's look at that. Hold on just a minute. Glory to God. Just a minute. Hallelujah. No. Just hold on just a minute. How does this happen? Go hard. Oh, okay. Go hard. All right. This is so kind of amazing. Wait a minute. You just hold on. You don't have anywhere to go. Just stay right here. I can't believe that this my papers. Do I have another folder here? Just a minute. Okay, take my time, man. I got the stuff. I got the juice. Just wondering what happened to it. Yeah, just a minute. You know, that ain't nothing but the devil. That's all that is. Okay, here. All right, now, when he mentions the word darkness, put in your Bible, ignorance. Ignorance. All right? Dark knowledge is knowledge given outside of God. Dark knowledge. Jesus said he is the what of the world? The light of the world. He said, I am the way, the what? Truth and the life. Now, thank God people have some knowledge. But Daniel, the book of Daniel tells you that in the last days, knowledge shall increase. And knowledge is doubling now every 18 months. It's hard to even keep up with it. But like I said, you can go different places and they have different practices, but God teaches principles. So no matter what the practice is, you come back to the principle. The principle comes from the word foundation, fundus in the Latin, having to do with the very base part of it. This is what it's all coming out of. It's a source of it. So he said, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in ignorance. And all the foundations are out of course. What does that mean, out of course? It means that they've been shaken. So people now, we're making laws. How many laws? Oh, a bunch of laws. Why? Because people are getting further and further away. So all of a sudden now you got to make a law not to dump this into the Chicago River. You got to make a law on it. Why? Because people are getting further and further away because darkness is getting darker. And go to Psalm chapter 11, please. Psalm chapter 11. Now, I'm going to take my time now because I got some good stuff for you. Praise God. All right. You need this. We all need this. Say amen to that. See, I know we do a lot of things with what's politically correct and all that, but God don't care enough about what's politically correct. Somebody said, well, whatever I think is right. Okay, I'm going to slap you. Let me see if that's right. You can't run a society on that. It'd be total chaos. There's got to be some ground rules. And this was established as one nation under God. Matter of fact, well, let me read you this first, because I'm going to go over there. I'm going to teach you some stuff now, but you got to sit here with me. I've got 17 minutes and 54 seconds. If you can just stay there that long. All right. If you leave, I'm going to still teach it. I'm going to just teach it. I'm going to just still let it go. Okay. Psalm 11 and verse 3. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And what is the enemy after? He's after the foundation. Why? He's trying to take society and use it for what he wants to use it for. We have come here as a harvesting generation. We're going to put this earth back into the hands of his rightful people. Now notice what he said. They don't know what they're doing. Why? Because their reasoning is saying to be right. I went to a country, I won't mention it over the internet because they might be listening and I don't want nobody to get in trouble. But I went to a country and the pastor and them had just gotten released from jail. Why? Because they spanked their kids. Why? In that country, it's illegal to spank kids. Now, I'm just saying, people don't mean any harm, but that's what they think they need to do to solve the problem. They need to make this law, but the law that they're making is not under God. Let me just show you. Come on back to Isaiah chapter 33. Look at this now. Isaiah chapter 33. Aren't you glad I'm here?
Yes.
Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 33. Watch this now, because this is where we got this from in the United States. Look at verse 22. For the Lord is our who? Judge. The Lord is our who else? Lawgiver. And the Lord is our what? King. Notice king, executive branch of government. Notice lawgiver, legislative branch of government. And notice our judge, the judicial branch of government. There it is right there. That's what we form the nation on. I'm just saying it's getting further and further away. But what I'm doing is telling you the root cause comes back to the family. Because the family is a thing that if we train up our children in the family in terms of a biblical context, then we'll find that our children will go out into society and society will mirror what our children are. And if our children are trained in the Word of God, then our societies will be right. No, do you follow that? So I'm saying that the first family, Lord have mercy. Family was, I need to just preach this and stop looking at these notes. Society is a product of the family. That's what I learned from this study that I'm giving you right now. I did not see this that plain until I got down in here. The state is going to be as good as the family. Your nation is going to be as good as the family. It's got to start with training up a child. Coming over here to Genesis chapter 18, please. Genesis chapter 18. If you dissolve the family, you dissolve society. And the enemy is trying to remove the male. And many of them, they're in jail. Why? Because the man, the Bible says, is the foundation. And the Bible says the male is the head. Now, he is not elected by the wife and them three kids. He is the head because God says he's the head. Look what it says here in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. For I know him, talking about Abraham. This is God talking about Abraham. That he will do what to his children? He will command his children and his household after them. He picked Abraham, and one of the reasons why he picked him, because he would teach that family. So tampering with the structure of the family, thinking that another arrangement can do it, is trying to destroy the model of the prototype of God that would keep the earth secure. Isn't this powerful? So our society, again, is the is represented by the family. In other words, we get the family straight, and then we can get the community straight, and then we can get the state straight, and then the nation straight, and then the global. Say amen to this. All right. Now, let me just see, can I keep going here? I don't know what happened to my notes. This is a strange setup. But it's amazing. I didn't have this problem with the last two. The devil, I bind you. So, when people try to dismantle a family, they try to destroy the foundation of a society. And let's deal now with children. Now, we talked about a husband and wife and talked about the arrangement there. And what we said is that it's more than love that we need. Oh, okay. It's more than love that we need. Now, come on over to Deuteronomy, please, in Deuteronomy chapter 24. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 24. Now, are you learning something? But that's because I want to make. All right, verse 5. When a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war. Neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife, which he has taken. So it's going to be 1 year of cheer. No, is that what I just read? What? Because that 1 year is probably the highest incidence of this couple not making it. Why? Because they don't know each other. And maybe some of the things that brought them together are not strong enough to keep them together. So now we know somebody's got to have some money if we gonna all stay cheerful for 1 year at the house. Now, is that what I read in here? All right. So what I'm doing now is kind of bringing us back to a place where we can see that we need to kind of rethink things and kind of restructure things, because if this family, again, society is going to only be as strong as a family, and we're going to know what we're going to have to do is my wife and I are going to have to come together first. I'm talking about generically now, that a woman and a man are going to have to come together first and get to know one another. And then after we, you know, as we get to know one another and so forth, then now here comes children, because, you know, one of the reasons why God brought us together is that we could, you know, reproduce. Now, some families may not want kids, and that's fine. That's up to the family. But I'm saying it's supposed to, reproduction supposed to take place in a family context. I mean, you're supposed to have a license to do some of the things that you do. Do I need to go any further with that? Okay. So, now let me close this up and get to the next part. That was my review. All right. Now let's talk about this kids a little bit more, the young folks. Okay. Because that's extremely important in this hour, because that's our future. The thing about it is people will know that and still abuse kids. I mean, it wouldn't make sense for me to abuse somebody that's going to take care of me. I mean, I want to make sure they have the best education, come on, the best dental work. I want them to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, because if they ever have to take care of me, I want them to be able to do it. So our kids have a lot to do with this future. Now, as we talk about this, let's go over to Proverbs and Proverbs chapter 13, please. No. That's the second place I want to take you. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6 first. Ephesians chapter 6. How y'all doing? You doing okay? Amen. That's why I don't want you to leave, because, you know, you're talking about money. Well, a lot of this that I'm teaching is a foundation to having that. It's nothing like getting a little money and somebody getting in trouble and the lawyer fees of $23,000 or $1 million or whatever it is. Say amen to this. I'm saying if we just go by the book, and train them by the book. Now we've got to know, so somebody's got to teach you. You don't know everything. So if you just listen to the one that God has sent, that's me-ish. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. So he's talking to children right here. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment of promise. Watch this. That it may be what with you? Well with you. And that you may do what else? Live long on the earth. Wow. So honoring our parents has something to do with the length of days. Go on, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture or training and the admonition of the Lord. Now, don't provoke them to wrath. What does that mean? It doesn't mean don't make them angry. That's what it does not mean. It means don't exasperate your children. Don't tell the kids one thing and do another. Don't frustrate them with that kind of behavior. In other words, don't say something like, you know, you do as I do and not as I say do. No, you do as I say do and not as I do. You know what I'm saying. I'm saying sometimes, you know, they're going to tell the kids to be honest, but they're going to cheat on their taxes. Say amen to that. And they're gonna tell the kids to dress appropriately, yet they got everything hanging out. So I'm just saying, you got to, I don't care. You may as well love me. You may as well love me. We got to talk about all of this, folks, because you got to understand, parents are in leadership. And the best form of leadership is to lead by example. That will persuade people quicker and everything. So we can't just say something and do something else or whatever have you, because the kids notice everything. They pick up on it so fast, I'm telling you. Now, also, follow through on your word. I'm still talking about don't provoke them to wrath now. Follow through on your word. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Do it. And I remember my dad, he mom would threaten me, you know, for 3 or 4 days. I'm going to whip you. You know, and it didn't go down. But Dad, I lied to him. He said, he called home. I was passing through the house and said, son, how was choir today? Well, I didn't go. I played hooky. I went and played football. And the music teacher called him, Mrs. Nicholson. And he called me as I was passing through the house. I answered the phone. Son, I said, yes, sir. How was choir? I said, beautiful. Beautiful, man. Whew, man. He said, William, your music teacher called me. There was silence. He said, son, you weren't there. You lied to me. Wow. He said, go in my closet. Get my belt, the brown one, and stretch it across the bed. I hung the phone up. I'm walking toward that closet. I got that and stretched it out. Because I didn't know if I didn't stretch it out, whether he'd forget it. But Dad don't forget it. And I'm telling you, it hurt him. Because I'd never seen him lie. I never seen him drink, never seen him smoke, never heard him curse. Not once. Not once. I said, man, I put that belt across there. That thing, visions began to come up in my mind. I saw the ambulance coming up out front. It was a terrible situation. It took a lot of courage in that situation. What did I do? He spanked me. All right. Now I'm going to show you something on that just now. But he didn't spank me out of anger. He spanked me out of correction. Because the rod is for correction, not to vent your anger. Because that's where people get abused. Got it? So he did. Sent me to bed without food that night. First and last time I've ever experienced that. Going to bed, him putting me to bed as his son without food. And I was hungry and everything. It was a terrible situation. But I never, ever did it again. Because the rod is designed to drive out foolishness. Watch this. And if they don't get corrected now, many times they end up in a correction facility. Because kids are half humans have to be corrected. That's the way God made it. Well, I don't believe in spanking kids and so forth. Let me go back to the book. Like I told you, if you keep Satan in the book, you can keep him out of your house. You keep him in the book. Now understand, God made a place for spanking. It's called a rump. It's called, y'all know what it's called. It's called the backside. And he made that for, because he put that back there so there'll be something. Now, a lot of people got a lot back there, but she put it back there. My wife go get it home. She said, sweetheart, you didn't have to say all of that. I know. All right, let's look at this. Turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter, ooh. Shows me that I'm out of time. Can I just cover these last two scriptures here? Proverbs chapter 13. Let me know when you get there. Praise God. Verse 24. He that spareth a rod, what? Hates his son. Hates him. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, please. Proverbs 19. And look at verse 18. Chasten your son while there is hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. Many times crying indicates repentance. Can I give you one more? Turn to Proverbs 29. That sounds like one of David's people. Look at Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Come on, I got one more to show you after this. Proverbs 29, and look at verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother, come on, to shame. Now what am I saying? Let me give you a scenario. Now, I'm not talking about abusing anybody. Please, that is not what we're talking about. We're talking about some situation where somebody needs correcting. Here's what he says. Here's a scenario. Have a single parent, okay? They're working a job, maybe doing some overtime because they need money. And they leave a list for the kids, but they use the older kids to manage the younger kids. Older kid to manage the younger kid. They leave food in the fridge. Get your own food. How about wash the dishes? Wash those clothes too while you're in there. Now y'all make sure you do your homework. I'm talking about a child left to himself. You see, these are not suggestions. These are the way this thing works. Are you following what I'm saying? And so do your homework and go to bed by 11 o'clock now. Now, understand, they're not at appropriate age that they can really, you can delegate all that to them. Because they still need some oversight. Say amen to that. But because of the economic times we're living in, parents have had to do this. So we do need God's miracle working help. Growing kids need constant discipline and supervision. They have to have clearly defined boundaries. And I got some news for you. When you don't establish boundaries in kids' life, they will eventually translate that you don't love them. Boundaries and you establishing them make kids feel safe. They should have increased responsibilities as they grow. More and more. And I tell you, my mom used to come in at a Saturday's morning when I thought I could sleep. She's there 6:30, getting me and my brother up. Get up! It's time to mow the lawn. Man. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 23. That's the last one. So we're not talking about beating anybody. But we're talking about a correction. And the idea about it is he keeps mentioning a rod because he doesn't want you to hit him with your hand. And the reason why he doesn't want you to hit him with your hand is because the hand is made to love. The hand is made to hold and caress. The hands are made to hug children with. The hand is made to make children feel guidance and so forth and so on. Listen to what I'm just saying now. I'm saying that in this is God's way of correcting our children. That's God's way. And some parents use a little ping pong paddle. My grandmother used to send me out to get a switch. And I'd come back. She said, "That's not a switch." I mean, what man do you know will get a big something to hit himself? So I had to get something that I thought was acceptable. And some people could use whatever. But my point to you is we're getting into a place today where people, and some kids, believe me, they will, I'm not saying you have to have that corporal punishment for a child. I'm saying as they grow older, you have to use other boundaries and so forth. But somewhere they've got to be disciplined because they've got to be taught. Now, let me tell you what's going on. Can we tell you what's going on? Because I can feel it in the air. Some people feel that they don't have to do this. And I'm not saying you have to. I'm just reading the book. And they don't like the fact that I'm giving it to you. And the reason why they don't like it is because the devil wants your house. And you don't have sense enough to realize that if he could just do a little bit with you, then a little bit with your next family, and a little bit, pretty soon he can get God out of this picture. And this earth will be chaos without God. Look at every other nation that has come in history and see what happened when they got away from God. Every other nation, Rome, every road led to Rome. Go in your history books. And in seminary, they taught us about it. Every road led to Rome. Look how small Rome is now. Greece, Alexander the Great set out to Greekanize the whole world. The whole world was going to speak Greek. And look how small Greece is now, and it's suffering and can't hardly pay its bills. Don't tell me what will happen if you get away from God. And the thing about it is people think they know more than God. Yes. And if some of this would have been taught, some of our kids wouldn't be down there at Cook County Jail and down there at the prison. And somehow you don't think this is important. But it's supposed to be important. You've got people coming up as politicians. You want them to have a foundation of what is right and good in God's eyes because that will bring you life. But what they think is this preacher is going to surrender to them because they don't like what I'm saying, so they're going to get up and walk out. I don't care. You are not my God. You didn't send me here, and you can't keep me here. You asked me to teach on family, and I'm going to teach on the whole thing. I'm going to teach on the whole thing, I'm not going to try to back up on it because you may not like it. Listen, if you, well, I won't give no money. Okay, keep it. See, I can believe God for my money. That's why I came into this business. You ain't seen me show you one little old picture trying to get you emotional. So you, I've just shown you facts. I'm telling you, God is wanting to do something through the church, but he's got to first get the church from backsliding. He's got to bring the church up to a place where the church is willing to stand up and be counted. Praise God. Thank God for it. I'm telling you why God is blessing me. He's blessing me because I'm doing his will. And his will is in his word. I didn't ever read you nothing that I said or something that came out of one of the magazines. I read you God's word, and I'm going to give you that word, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm not saying you got to beat people and all of this. It's not that. You want to make a kid feel at home. You want to make a kid feel loved and so forth, but just correct them as they go. Man, I'm telling you, when we do that, we can raise up a generation here that when evil comes, our people will know what to do. That next generation is going to take care of you. They're going to make laws for you. Come on now. They're going to be entertaining for you. They, all of that. So you got to make sure you did your part. That is your future. And you need it secure. Say amen to that. Folks, I believe God is about to raise up some, watch this, not only some millionaires, but some billionaires. I'm talking about trillion. I'm talking about God is right. But you're going to be doing it right. It's not going to be something that we're doing this and doing that and cheating on income tax. We're going to get the whole thing straight. I'm not saying you can't find ways to reduce your taxes, but I'm saying let's stay with the book. The one thing I teach on is integrity. And I learned it from some of the men of God over me. Man of God called me and said, Bill, said, listen, I'm calling you because I know you gave a sizable offering, you and your wife and so forth. He said, but you know, God talked to me about that offering that was taken. I said, okay, sir. He said, God said it was taken the wrong way. And so he wanted me to sow it all. I said, okay. He said, I'm just calling you to ask you, would it be okay if I sowed what y'all gave me? I said, what I gave you ain't mine. I sowed it to you. That's yours. He said, well, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to give it for some crusades in Africa because we took it the wrong way. And I just want to let you know I'm letting it go. That's integrity. That's where I've been living. That's the kind of people I know. Oh, yeah, it started with my dad. He wouldn't let anything go by. Nothing. I'm telling you. I'm just saying, my dad and my mom, I like to hang around her because she kind of give me some grace. But dad was under the law, boy. But this is the product he turned out. This is the product he turned out. So, I've covered quite a distance here, and I want to finish up, probably we can finish up next time on this series, but I want to let you know what I've been speaking has been going into your spirit. And I'm telling you, you're much more developed right now than you even think you are. You're going to see things now about things and so forth. And this is not to ever to be critical. Don't be critical of somebody else's family or something. And let me tell you something else. If you didn't teach your kids, like most of us, many didn't teach some of our kids and so forth. Listen, God is still in a miracle working business. He can turn it around. Do you hear what I'm saying? Give the Lord a praise. That's all we have for now. I just want to let you know, I love to do God's work. Amen. And I feel very good about the fact that you all want to hear about this. Because there's places that people don't want to hear. Wow. This was not quite a graduation message, but it was in a way. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Before everybody gets up and start moving around, because service ain't over yet, and this ain't no movie theater. This is the house of God. Okay. Amen. That's all right. If you're here and God has spoken to your heart about being born again, the good news is that you came.